to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, March 4th, 2018, the third Sunday in Lent.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Wouldn't it be great if there were no rules, no laws, no restrictions? You could do whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, however you wanted. Isn't that the dream? It's the premise of my favorite movie of all time, Groundhog Day. I try to watch it about once a year. It's the story you may know of a weatherman named Phil Connors, the most self-centered person in the universe, who is either cursed or blessed to relive Groundhog Day every day for an eternity, it seems like. And at first, he is so happy because he can do whatever he wants. There are no consequences. He can break all the laws he wants, fulfill every fantasy he's ever had in his mind, and it's great. But then something happens to Phil. The fun wears off. The freedom to do whatever you want and to live only for yourself becomes a hollow victory and an empty goal, and he becomes deeply depressed. Laws, of course, exist because we don't live in a perfect world with perfect people. We ourselves are not perfect. We need laws to restrain our worst impulses, laws that enable us to live with one another. If we had perfect charity and love with one another, we wouldn't even need stoplights, would we? We would just come up to the intersection, oh no, you go. No, I insist, you go. Just like driving on Michigan roads every day, right? Just sweetness and politeness all the time. For Jews, the law was a God-given gift. It was not something that was negative or bad or considered awful or a burden. It was a gift. I love the image, I've probably told this before, of Hasidic Jews who take the Torah scroll and dance around with joy because it is a gift. God's law is a gift. The Ten Commandments were a gift to his people, a sign of his everlasting covenant. There's a word in our Old Testament lesson which I believe is the most important word in the Old Testament. It is translated different ways, but in Hebrew the word is chesed, and it's often translated steadfast love, as in, I'll punish you for three or four generations if you break the law, but to those who keep my commandments I will show chesed for 1,000 generations. Covenant faithfulness. Steadfast love. This is the nature of God. And God's law is a sign of God's love, God's protection, and God's relationship with God's people. There is a disturbing trend today. If you read the news is so depressing sometimes, I have to say. There is a rise globally of what are called strongman leaders. People like Vladimir Putin in Russia, or Erdogan in Turkey, or Kim in North Korea, and on it goes. Rulers who are trying to erode the rule of law in favor of unlimited power for themselves. And it's dangerous because those laws are so important for preserving justice in society. One of the great hallmarks of America has been that our laws apply to everyone, from the great to the weak, from the rich to the poor. All are subject to the same rule of law. It's one of the beacons of American society and culture. So we know, don't we, as Americans, how important the law can be. And yet we have to say, when we look deeply at the law from the scripture to civil society, that laws alone do not take us far enough. There is more to living in community. There is more to worshiping God. There is more to loving our neighbor than just the law. The law basically guarantees the minimum. When the light turns red, you stop, right? Hopefully, on a good day. Unless it's late at night and there's no one around, in which case it seems like you can just go. I don't know. The law guarantees the minimum of our behavior. But Jesus always invites us to do more, doesn't he? In the Gospels, again and again, he says, the law says one thing, but I say unto you another. The law says don't murder. Oh, great. Check that one off. I have not committed murder yet. Not murder. But Jesus says, no. Love demands that you not even hold and carry anger towards your neighbor. Uh-oh. I got the murder one, but the anger, not so sure. The law says, forgive your neighbor 7 times. I can forgive, well, 3 or 4 maybe. But love demands that you forgive 70 times 7. The law says, don't covet your neighbor's goods. But love says, take off even your own coat and give it to one in need. Love is the higher law that Jesus invites his hearers and followers to pursue. A love that takes the law, it doesn't eradicate any of it, doesn't erase one comma or hyphen in the law, but which transcends and fulfills the law by replacing it with a deeper law, the law of love. Love, which is self-sacrificing relationship with our neighbor, which puts the other first, is what leads us from the minimums of the law to the maximum of life in the kingdom of God. Imagine a world in which we don't need laws because we have such love for one another. That's the dream that Jesus infects his followers with, that they could live in that way and lay down their lives for their friends and live no longer for themselves alone, but for God and for their neighbor in an abundance of community love which spills over into the world. That's the vision. In my movie, Groundhog Day, it's the vision that eventually Phil Connors, the most self-centered weatherman in the world, gets hold of. If you know the movie, there's a shift that happens partway through. He's exhausted himself living for himself. He's run out of joy in that, and he seeks something more. And he begins to practice helping his neighbor. He finds people in the town that he has despised for so long. He finds in them something valuable. He rescues a boy who's falling out of a tree. He helps a carload of women to change their spare tire. He helps a man who's choking on a piece of steak. And in each act of selfless love, he grows and changes and is transformed from the inside. In loving others, he himself becomes lovable and is transformed into something new. He's eventually, through this process, set free from the bondage of living that Groundhog Day over and over again. It's a wonderful allegory, parable, whatever you wanted to say, about what our life can be as well. When we begin to live no longer for ourselves, when we stop focusing so much on what our needs are, what our wants are, what we, you know, the self-centered universe, when we begin to step out of that universe into the God-centered universe, putting God's covenant love first, amazing things happen in our lives. We're set free from our need to have everything our way, we begin to see others as lovable and beautiful, where once we saw them as competitors or as something to be pitied or despised, now we see them as full human beings made in the image of the same God in whose image we are made. People with their own innate destiny and beauty and worth and value, and we change into something new, into something lovable, and into something beautiful. We give thanks for the gift of the law, but more today we give thanks for the example of Jesus, who came to show us a higher and deeper and better way. In Narnia terms, the deeper magic that is made manifest in the self-offering of Jesus on the cross. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The message about the cross, which is self-sacrificing love, makes no sense in earthly terms, but it is the wisdom of God and the power of God for us who believe.